Turn with me this morning to the 7th chapter of the book of Micah for a beginning. We talked last Sunday that being filled with the Spirit or not being filled with it concluded that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a main thing. And man is made new in the Spirit. But he also has that old Spirit. Also, I said one stood over against the other. And there is always a battle going on. There's always a crucifying of the flesh if man be in the Spirit. That's not too hard for a man of God to understand because he understands that battle. But outside of the Spirit, man is always under the law of sin and death. The old body's going to die because it is sin. That flesh always carries that sin. And some would have you to believe today even that if you make a profession, they call it, that's the end of things, but the saving of the old body continues on because it must be crucified day by day and brought into account and answer to a holy God, and it must be brought to newness of life, even as the Spirit, because the two are not compatible. They can't walk together unless they be agreed. So there's always that battle there. But we have promise that old flesh will be subdued. Not by man, but by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in man, it continues to correct him. We're told that we must grow in grace and in knowledge. Really, that's a command. So how are we going to do that? Really, we're not going to do it. It's that Spirit at work against the flesh is what does it. And always God, being the head, is at work in man through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that it might correct his flesh, that it might bring it in to accountability, and that it might sanctify that very body even of man, that mortal body.
Right.
So we'd like to read a few scripture here for a jumping off place. The 14th verse, he said, feed thy people with thy rod. You understand, got to keep whipping it. He said, the flock of thine inheritance, which dwell solitarily in the wood. They're scattered out. He said, in the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. We might even call it a mystery. Apostle Paul called it a mystery. This dealing of the Holy Spirit with man, not only of old, but of our day also. Actually, that is the mystery, that God has come unto another people. He said, the nation shall see and be confounded at all thy might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. This is sovereign grace. It was decided before the foundation world who this people were, from the very first until the very last. And God is going to deal with that people. And in verse 19, he said he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities with the rod. We see the same thing in the correction of children. Don't spare the rod. Got to keep whipping the old flesh. And our flesh isn't any different than that. It must be crucified daily. It must be subdued. But once again, I tell you that we're not going to do the subduing. If the Spirit doesn't do the work, then it'll not be subdued. But if the Spirit does the work, then it's promised that it will be subdued. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That will perform the truth of Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. And some might say, well, this is Old Testament stuff here. But no, it's New Testament. Well, that's where we're at. We have moved into the New Testament era in these very verses. The old flesh is going to be subdued by the Spirit of God in His people. No longer going to have dominion. It will not rule over man where the Spirit is. Dominion of the Spirit of God is power. And I say powerful, it is more powerful. He'll have grace on whom he will, and whom he will, he'll harden, and that's a promise. So the power is in the Spirit. Romans, the 6th chapter. Once again, these are very familiar, but it always does us good to go back and look. By the way, that's where the truth plays its main part. The truth will make you free. It'll set a man free. 6th chapter of the book of Romans, in verse 12, he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we're talking about two things here. One is life in the spirit, and the other is death in the flesh. But it must be whipped. He said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. He said, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? He said, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. He said, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, that same word. He said, being then made free from sin, ye have become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. This is complete here. In it or unto it. You know, until now, it's had the root. It's had dominion. That's all you're going to do. You're bound and determined to walk in iniquity. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. But what fruit hath ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Well, we're constrained by spirit. It's not in you to do it. But when the spirit bears witness with our spirit, then it gives us also power to overcome that dominion of sin. Because we keep putting it down, because spirit keeps telling us. This is what you must do. Now in the 8th chapter, in verse 1, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. It's not possible for you not to whip that sin every day and have dominion over it, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh. You're born again. You're in spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. It's been crucified. It's dead. It's had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think Holy Ghost is better. We don't see it. There is such thing as ghost. We don't see it, but it's there. It's always at work. It's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, it sounds like the body's even going to be regenerated. Some would say, well, it's talking about after death there'll be life in the body. No, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about there'll be life in it now. Not someday. He said, and we're debtors not to the flesh, live after the flesh. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we keep crying out for that restraining power that it might bring life, even in this body. It's not something to come. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Verse 15, he said, but even unto this day when Moses read the veil is up on his heart, he's talking about Israel, nevertheless, when it shall turn, when the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We're not under dominion of sin anymore. He said, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's where the glory is. But then a man of God is changed from glory to glory. He glories in that work of the Spirit upon his body. His soul is saved. And it's saved in Christ Jesus. That's where the power is. 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. Thank you. That's what I didn't mean to go there. I'm on 1 Corinthians. It don't matter. 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. Sometime I get my Corinthians backwards anyway. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, that's whose temple it is, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men. For all things are yours. And whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's, in that order. So we're to grow in grace and in knowledge. Go with me over the book of John, the 17th chapter. I don't know exactly where to begin here, but go up in verse 14, the 17th chapter. I've given them thy word. Jesus is praying for the disciples that he's about to send out, not only them, but for all those to come. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through your word. Through your truth. The same thing. He's fixing to say that. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, that took in everybody, didn't it? That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Then that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This isn't no maybe stuff here. This isn't anything by chance here. This is sovereign grace. Now, he's praying for a particular people, a certain people. Make no mistake about it, there isn't going to be any chance, oh, I hope some of them's going to be saved. No, he's going to save them body and soul. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So, the power in the Holy Ghost today, in his people, that they might continue to be corrected, instructed. You understand? In all the things of righteousness, and I'll teach them all things. What things? Everything the Father has told him, and everything that the Holy Ghost has told his people. You're going to continue to teach them. It's going to come. I'm going to send the Comforter. And he's going to come, and he's going to teach you all these things. And we'll be at liberty then to worship God in truth and in spirit, and grow in grace and in knowledge.
What does it mean to live? That's what we're saved for, isn't it? To live. I live unto the Lord. But that is life, isn't it? I am come that you might have life, and you may have it more abundantly. We hear people talk about the worldliness. You know, the more they can get of the world, the more they think they're living. Man, that is really living. But the more of the righteousness that was manifest in us through that Holy Ghost, by the power of the Spirit of God, that's really living as far as the child of God is concerned. And if God withholds the power of that Spirit, that's when the people of God are doing anything but living. That's the reason that so many times you find in the Psalms that the psalmist is crying out. Because that Spirit is not operational. And he feels it. There's something amiss there. He doesn't have that life. And what is that life? It's manifest in the fact that he loves God, loves his truth, and consequently, the Word of God is precious because His Word is truth. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I believe that is one of the most important things that is missing in the understanding of the people of the church today. righteousness. That's really living.